appreciate you. Before I read, I want to tell the church thank you for taking us on as a mission work. I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate your prayers and all that you've done for us. You've always been good to us, and I'm thankful for that. And want you to know that we love you and do appreciate you. Revelation chapter number 2, if you will stand. Reverence the reading of the Word of God. Verse number 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I want to thank you, God, for this opportunity to bow. I want to thank you, God, for the privilege to pray again. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be in the service this morning. Thank you, God, for the good Sunday school hour. Thank you, God, for the good songs of Zion that we've been able to hear. Lord, I appreciate you for that. Thank you, God, for traveling grace and mercy, Lord, as we came yesterday. Thank you, God, for, Lord, last night and the rest we had. Thank you, God, for the good fellowship, Lord, that we was able to have with Brother Toby, Brother John, their families. Lord, I appreciate you for that. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to come back to truth and, Lord, fellowship and preach to these folks. And I pray, oh God, that you'd bless them and help them, Lord, as they labor this week, God, and try to have revival. I beg you, oh God, that you'd send it to them. Lord, bless your man this week and help him. Give him liberty to preach, Lord, and let him help their hearts. God, I do pray. Most of all, I beg you, God, to touch sinners this week and save them, God, by your wonderful grace. Lord, I do beg. Lord, but I ask you, God, now, Lord, as we've come again, Lord, that you'd touch me and help me. Lord, I've stood in this same spot, Lord, so many times. Lord, so many times, Lord, you've helped me. And I pray, God, that you'd do it again. Lord, I come, God, just as needy, Lord, today. Lord, as I did that first day that I stood. And I pray, oh God, that you'd help me, Lord, and preach me, God. I beg you, God, to give me the words to say, Lord, this congregation needs. Lord, God, you know the need of the hour. Lord, you know the need of each heart. And I beg you, God, through the preaching of your word, God, that you'd enlighten some soul and help them, God, I do pray. Lord, touch me, I do pray. Lord, recall to my mind and bring to my mind, Lord, things that I preached in the past, things that I've studied, God, and put this message together, Lord, like you'd see fit. I pray, oh God, that you'd give me wisdom today and direction and leadership. Help me, God, to preach under the unction and anointing, God, of the Holy Ghost, I pray. Lord, if you do not come, Lord, I'll know it and they'll know it. Lord, and I'll have to take my seed. Lord, but I pray, oh God, that you would come and visit with me and give me fresh oil, Lord, and a touch of God today, I do pray. And let me get loose and loose out of myself where I'm at, Lord, and be engulfed in your word, I pray. Help us, God, I humbly beg. Help me, God, to be a willing service. Lord, I pray, God, today, in Jesus' name I humbly beg. Amen, amen. I want to preach today, if the Lord will help me, just for a little while out of these few verses of Scripture, and maybe leave a little thought with you. Lord, please don't take our light. Lord, please don't take our light. Now, each one of you know by studying these Scriptures in the book of Revelation that the Lord is talking to these 7 churches of Asia, and He's dealing with them individually, and each one of them He has something to say to them, and only one of them He has any good thing you might say about, or really the whole chapter is about good things. But I begin to study these Scriptures here, no doubt like you have, and I understand, Brother Toby, that you can take it as individual churches and deal with each of them like that, but I also believe that you could take them as a church of whole. I believe that. And use it as a progressive period and look at where they started at and where we're at today. I believe that. I believe this first church here of Ephesus started out and lost their love. But that last church, Laodicea, they lost their life. Amen. And I believe that's where we're headed at today in the church world. I can remember a time not too many years ago
When I first got saved, the church was a lot different then than it is now. And that's just been some 14 years ago that the Lord saved me. But it seemed like people were different in that day, and church was different, and worship was different. But now we've come to a day like Laodicea, where we're lazy and lax and seem like don't have need of anything anymore. But I do believe with all my heart that we need to get back to some fundamental basics and principles, unless the Lord take our light. And if we lose our light, we've lost everything. You understand that, don't you? I do believe, Brother Toby, that I've preached in churches in this day that have lost that light. I do believe that I have preached in churches where that the candlestick has been removed from out of this place. They still go through forms and fashions and routines and rituals, and they still have church, but there is no God and there is no fellowship with the Holy Ghost, and because of that, there is no salvation of sinners. Amen. So it's necessary that we keep this light around. I've preached revivals a lot of weeks, and a lot of times on Friday nights I'll hear this. Folks will stand up in the congregation and they'll begin to make acknowledgments on Friday night how they hadn't been what they needed to be all week, how they hadn't had a burden, how they hadn't prayed, how they've been distracted. But it's Friday night. Everything's over and done. And all they've got to look forward to is Sunday morning. A revival for them is just a thing of the past. And I thought about that, and I begin to think about them folks that say they've lost their burden. How many times have you heard folks say that? Well, I just hadn't had a burden like I needed. I just hadn't been able to pray for folks, and I just hadn't been able to pray for sinners. I just hadn't had a burden. And the reason why they have no burden is because that they have no love. Amen. And you only have love, you only have a burden when you have love. Me and you cannot preach. Those of us that are preachers cannot preach without a burden. Therefore, we cannot preach without love in our hearts. You say, preacher, are you a love preacher? Sure I am. I believe you ought to love God and love the things of God and love His people and love sinners. I'm not talking about the point of compromise and going against His word, but I do believe this: when we begin to lose our first love, which is that love of Christ and love for Christ, but I don't think that's all He's talking about. I think He's talking about the love of the brethren. When you lose your love for Christ and God, and then lose your love for the brethren, then your light's gone and you walk in darkness. The Bible said when a man walks in darkness, he stumbleth because there is no light. When you walk in darkness, you lose all your direction. Ain't that right? You don't know heads from tails, ups from downs. You don't know where you're at. Then you lose your ability to distinguish some things. You don't know who friend and foe is. So therefore, you wind up in a mess. And if you're not careful, if you stay in the darkness, then you're detoured off on the wrong road and the wrong path. And before you know it, you wind up 6 months or a year down the road and wake up one day and say, how in the world did I get right here? It used to be so good. There used to be so much fellowship. I used to go to church and feel God and feel the Spirit. I used to be able to hug my brother or sister's neck, and there was a kindred spirit and acquaintance. But what happened, Lord? I'll tell you what happened. You lost your light. Therefore, you're about to die lest you get it back. Amen. I believe that, don't you? We need that light. I believe that the light can be taken out for many reasons. I think sinful practices would be one reason why the lamp or the light would be taken out, don't you? You remember over there in Samuel where Eli got old and the lamp, the Bible said, in the temple began to draw dim. And before long, the Bible said that it went out during that time. As Eli got fat and his eyes got dim, his boys that was in line to take the priesthood was committing adultery and fornication, even on the steps of the temple there. All this ungodliness and wickedness was coming in on the people of God, and they did not deal with it. They just harbored it in their lives. They just kept it around, and because of that, the good swift wind of God came and blew that light out. And because because of that, Ichabod later was wrote over the door, and the glory of God was departed. And now there ain't none of us here today, I'm sure, that's harboring sin or sinful practices. There's none of us, you know, that would admit in any way to being in sinful things, having sinful tendencies. We're all pretty much the cream of the crop, you know. But the cream of the crop I'm dealing with today, I find as I'm shucking it, there's an awful lot of worms. Amen. But I'll tell you what, I don't just believe that it's some sinful practices that's killing us. I could stop right there and preach for the other 25 minutes that Brother Toby's given me, but I'm not going to deal with that. I'll let Brother Clint come back tonight and rip and roll fat. Amen. Or Brother Toby can next Sunday. Or Brother Terry can all this week. But I do want you to know that sin will take your life. But what I want to deal with today is the fellowship that's went out in our church. And because of that, our lights and lamps have gone out. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but me and you need one another. And Truth Baptist Church needs its members and it needs its visitors. And we need fellowship. I believe that. I preach to a lot of men that's got some lines drawn and they will not cross it. And they're just what they are, you know. We'll not compromise and we'll not back down. But them same men are satisfied with being all alone on the backside of the desert with nobody to talk to, nobody to fellowship with. But I ain't ready for that, Brother Toby. Amen. I don't know if I'm just not matured in God enough, but I just can't handle being alone. I need you. Amen. I want to have my standard and I want to have my convictions. I want to walk with God and be right with Him. And I want to preach against sin. But I also want to be able to come and shake your hand. Shake your hand and call you on the phone and feel a connection and a kindred spirit and a kindred faith that draws us together that we might fellowship one with another and have the light in our midst. Amen.
Amen.
I'm seeing in a lot of places I go, lamps going out because people in congregations are at odds one with another. And they fuss and fight and feud and bicker. Ain't that right? And it was said in Sunday school, and it's never over things that matter. It's always over little things that wouldn't amount to a hill of beans. Ain't that right? But those things will put a strife and contention between you and your brother, and it'll cause you to sit here and him to sit there, her back there and her back up here. And because of that, the whole service long, you're looking at one another and you're casting them fiery darts. And because of that, it's hindering the working of God. And the preacher don't understand why he can't loose and get loose, and the choir don't understand why they can't sing with that touch. And it's all because we've lost our fellowship and our love one toward another. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. Ain't that right? And as far as I can tell about Him, He had bowels of compassion and He cared for folks. It was said that He was a friend of the publican and sinner. And that's exactly right. Even though they had a lot of trouble, a lot of heartaches, even though they had a lot of problems, He still took time. Even though He was deity, even though He was God, even though He was holiness, even though in Him was no guile nor unclean thing, He still came to where they was, wrapped His arms around them and loved them. And you, thank God, today that are here, that are so spiritual and so close to God, need to take some time when you see your brother or sister naked and destitute and in need to go to them and help them and keep that fellowship, lest God takes a lot out of our churches. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I can remember when I first started out and got saved, you know, got sanctified and had all my ducks in a row, you know. Boy, I'd stand and look in the mirror when nobody's around and say, boy, I've made it. I've arrived. I've got all this down. Look how good I'm living. I'm so clean. I'm so right. I'm so holy. I'm so pure. Then I went, and when I got to church, I understood that they wouldn't meet my criteria, and they wasn't meeting up to my expectations, so it was hard for me to fellowship with them because I was so much better, you know. But God knocked me down several rungs on the ladder and let me realize where I came from. It ain't as much about where you are. You better remember where you've been and Amen. Where you was. Amen. Amen. That's right. Babies start out laying around kicking their legs and feet. Then they'll scoot up on their bellies. Then they might crawl a little bit. Then after a while, they'll pull up. Then they'll walk. Ain't that right? But us in our local churches is getting them saved and kicking them out and making them run this race with patience, but they cannot because they don't even know how to crawl yet. And Amen. Because of that, we lose Amen. Confidence and fellowship. And it's not their fault. Thank God me and you ought to have enough mind of God about us out of love and care and cherish and help Amen. Folks. Amen. Thank God when they're hurting. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. John said, if you walk in the light as He is in the light, you have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So if I walk in the light, which is Christ, which is God, if I'm in that light and you're in that light, and I'm not looking at what I've seen you do or what I've heard through the grapevine, we're just walking together in the light. Therefore, we can fellowship. See, I don't know this brother from Adam's house cat, and he don't me, but look at him. He's saying amen, and he's shaking his hand. He's not trying to figure out what I watched on television last night. He's not trying to pry in my business and find out what I've done last week, but he's feeling the kindred spirit, and he's saying, I can walk with that. Ain't that right? Oh, yes, that's right. Therefore, we have fellowship. Therefore, we're going to come together in unity and in love. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to sing the Lord's song. And because there's unity and love and fellowship, the Spirit's going to have free reign and free course. Then it's going to blow from breast to breast. Then tears are going to come out of His eyes. And He's going to give that little silly giggle that He gives, you know, from time to time when He gets happy. Then all of a sudden back there, somebody's going to wave their hand. Then over here, somebody's going to testify. Why is that possible? Because we've become a building fitly framed together. We're not thinking about what everybody's done, but we're walking in light. We're fellowshipping one with another. Most of all, we're fellowshipping with Him. So therefore, there's been a habitation of the Spirit formed, and now sinners can get saved, and saints can rejoice because we're in one mind, one accord, in unity. Amen. How good and pleasant is it for the brethren to dwell together in unity. I told a church last week, I said, I don't know how you want to know why you bicker and fuss all the time and why y'all constantly at odds and why you constantly calling one another and telling what sister so-and-so did, what brother so-and-so did. I said, you want to know why you do that? Because y'all know each other too well. Old-timers didn't have that problem. Amen. I'm all for church and going to church, but I tell you what, we went to church so much with the same people and played with the same people, ain't that right? When we're not at church, we're playing golf, and when we're not playing golf, we're going shopping. When we're not going shopping, we're going to eat out with each other, and because of that, we know each other's little ways, ain't that right? And we won't say it in front of each other, but when we get in the car, we'll look at our wives and we'll drop our heads and say, I don't understand how in the world they're as blessed like they are when she's got a mouth like she does, and when he is as bad to his kids as he, how in the world can they have God? Adam, that's all right if it stays in the car, but it don't ever stay in the car. It follows you in church on Sunday. Then that sister that you said had such a big mouth, then that man that you said was so mean to his kids, all of a sudden God blesses them, not because they deserve it, but because of grace and mercy, and they're testifying. And you're sitting in the back with your arms crossed, saying, how in the world can it be? And the only one it's a hindering is you and everybody else. Amen. That's exactly right. And so we need to fellowship, lest the Lord takes our life.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I believe that's right. Amen. That's exactly right. Our old timers went to church, used to, about once a month at their own church. Then they'd swap and go to another church. But it was usually all the same people. But the thing about it was, they was just happy to be together. And they hoped that God would move in their midst. They didn't come to see who was driving a new car or which lady had the prettiest dress. They didn't come to see who threw the biggest or thickest wad in the offering plate. They come for one reason, and that was to walk in the light, amen, and fellowship with God, because they knew it was necessary that if that light was taken out, they knew that their kids couldn't get into trouble and get under conviction. There's more important things today than what you're aware of or what I'm aware of. There's more important things to be wondering about than why in the world did they buy another new car, or why did he get another suit, or why in the world is he doing like he's a doing? There's much more on the line today. You better know. Thank God that the light is exposed, and one good swift wind could blow it out of existence. Amen.
That's right.
That's right, ain't it?
That's right. Amen.
Oh, yes. God help us, Lord. Boy, I don't want him to take our light to you. I'm talking about if the Lord takes our light, my boys can't get saved, and my little girl can't get saved. If the Lord takes our light, we can't worship in the old-time way. You realize that, don't you? There's a lot of churches that are having church this morning, and they're much more lively than what we are. And by this time, some of them's probably climbing the walls and swinging from the ceiling. But the thing about it, when it gets down time to altar call, when it gets down time for that drawing and moving to that Holy Ghost, it'll be dead, dead, dead. And their kids will walk out in the same shape that they walked in with, and they'll never be troubled, and they'll never get under conviction. The reason why there's no a true conversion anymore today is there's no real conviction anymore. And the only reason why we have conviction and have that troubling, have that moving of the water, is because the light's still around and God's still moving in our midst. Amen.
Amen, amen, preacher. Amen.
We are a people with no compassion anymore. Ain't that right? That's sad, but we're a people of no compassion. Amen. I've learned some things, I guess you might say, in the time I've been saved. I went through that saved period, just happy that I was saved, cloud nine, shouting every time I got a chance running. I mean, it didn't take anything to get me crunk. Brother Clint, I was already crunk up. I come to church to worship, amen. And I was first one to testify just about every service. Then I got, you know, in that state where I was dealing with issues in my life and God moving things out and putting more things in and getting me closer to him. I was submitting myself unto God, and I was resisting the devil, and I was drawing out of God, and he was drawing out of me. But then, instead of just moving forward in the grace and knowledge of God, I got stuck in that old pharisaical rut that everybody gets into, and I was better than anybody else. And since my wardrobe and my haircut was just like I thought it needed to be, I was so much better than those folks coming in that probably wasn't even saved. I'd be them down, tell them how sorry they was, that they wasn't nothing but a bunch of dogs and no good, and you ought to be like me. Amen. Ain't that right? But thank God the Lord got me out of that. You can get in a pharisaical religious rut where all you study is standard and conviction. These folks had it, and then the Lord commended on it. He said, I understand that you don't bear evil, you don't put up with it. You've tried those that say they're apostles and found them to be liars. You walk a straight line. You're exactly what you're supposed to be. But I have somewhat against you. You're more concerned with that than you are loving me and your brethren. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
There is a reason why he said, let brotherly love continue. Amen. I want to have compassion toward my brother. When I see my brother in need, I want to be one that'll be able to go to him and help him. Amen. Now, don't nobody go tell anybody that Brother Michael's compromised, because he has not. But I've just matured a little bit, I think, in the ways of God. Amen. Right. I do understand perfectly in Luke 10 over there, there's a man wandering through the city, and some thugs come up and stripped him and whipped him and beat him and left him half dead and threw him in a ditch. There was a priest that come by, could hear this boy moaning and groaning, but he stayed on the other side of the road. He didn't even want to get near that boy. That Levi come up, and he walked over the edge of the ditch and looked in, and he probably might even knew that old boy. He probably said, like some of us do, he probably said, yeah, I knew it was going to happen. You always walk too close to that fence. You was a fence straddler. I tried to tell you to do better. I tried to tell you to live like I did. I tried to tell you to change some things, but you just wouldn't listen. You deserve everything you got, and turned around and walked on by. Y'all don't know anybody like that, do you? I know some of them, and there's probably some of them sitting here this morning. That's exactly right. But you better be careful, because you might be the one next Sunday that gets tripped and robbed and beat and left for dead. Amen. And you're going to want somebody to help you out of the ditch. Amen.
That's right. That's right.
Is it possible for me, a good Bible-believing fundamental Baptist, to get in the ditch quick? You can get in there quick, buddy. Amen. That's exactly right. Oh, yes. Is it possible for truth that started out, you know, and we've come together in unity and love and formed this church and got a great pastor? Is it possible? Is it possible for us with our standards and our dress code and our hair cut right, and with a preacher that preaches like Brother Toby does and lifts the standard and preaches hard, is it possible for us to get in the ditch? You can be there before this service is over.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Amen. Amen. But there's a good Samaritan come by. Looks like he might have been riding his beast or might have been leading it, I don't know. But he come by that old ditch and he heard them moans. He heard them groans. And he got off that beast and got over there to the ditch and looked in, and all he could see was blood and pus and mess. And he could have said, I don't want to get in that. I ain't got, that's none of my business. It's not my fight. I don't have a dog in it. I don't have to help him. I'll just get on right down the road. But for something, he felt something in his heart begin to move. And he was moved with compassion. Evidently, he looked back to that town and said, that could have been me. And I could have been that man. If I'd have come through just a few hours ago, they might have got me instead of him. So you know what he done? He just rolled up his sleeves, got down in the ditch and the mud and the blood and guts, and got to help him, that old boy.
Amen.
It was funny that this man had some things on his beast. It's funny that he was carrying oil and wine. Now that's amazing to me, ain't it? He wasn't just an average Joe, but he was prepared for his journey.
Amen.
And you better be prepared for your journey. Oil in the testament, oil in the Bible represents the Holy Ghost. And I believe that's right, don't it? And wine is those grapes that's been it must out have been put through the test, and now they've come out and they're able to make that heart merry. They've got that sweet taste. This man was carrying some things with him that's evident of a good old time Christian. He had the Holy Ghost, and he had joy with him, and he wasn't afraid to get in the ditch and get dirty. There ain't nothing, friend, that this man had that could get off on him that he couldn't wash off. Amen. That's exactly right. I'm telling you what, just because you see your brother in trouble, you say, "Preacher, if I help him, it'll get on me. It won't get on you unless you want it in you."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But preacher, he deserved that. He needs to be dealt with. He probably does need to be dealt with. But right now you're looking at a man that's at the point of death, and he needs some help. And after he gets some help, when he gets better and recovered, then you can tell him where he done wrong. Amen. Right, right. But right now, he don't need to hear anybody say, "I told you so." Right now, he don't need to hear anybody say, "You should have done better. You should have been more faithful." He don't need anybody to say, "If you'd been reading your Bible and praying three times a day like you should have, you'd have wouldn't been in this mess." He needs somebody to pour in oil and wine and help him recover. Amen.
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 You ever been down? You ever been in the ditch?
Amen.
You ever had anybody come along and help you? Amen.
Yes, sir.
But I've had some help. Amen.
Yes, sir.
This old boy is bleeding and he's wounded. That old man just gets down in there. Everywhere there's a knock or a bump or a bruise, he just rubs that oil in. Everywhere there's a cut, he'll pour that wine in and clean it and then pour that oil on top of it. Then put that wine to his lips and say, "Take a little of that. Drink a little bit of that and it'll help you." I'm telling you what, we need folks like that today that are willing to fellowship even with folks that might not be on the same plane or standard that we are. Ain't that right? We need to be able to condescend the men of low estate.
Amen.
I think that's what the scripture said.
Yes,
that
sir.
Don't mean get down wallowing the muck and mire with them, but that means get down where they're at and help them with their problems. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
He didn't just bind him up and leave him there, but he put him on his own beast. Amen. Carried him to the inn. And I can see this old boy laying in that bed, because I've been that same boy. Amen. I've been the one stripped and bruised. I think I'm preaching right. I've not erred anywhere, I don't think. Y'all must just be listening real good. Some of you got funny looks on your faces. I don't know. Amen. But you've been right there too if you've been saved very long. There ain't none of you walked the straight and narrow like you'd want to make me think you have. Amen.
No.
And I haven't either. Amen. I've been in the ditch a few times, but I had some folks with compassion and love that picked me up and carried me somewhere where I could be nurtured and raised, and my wounds be mended. Amen.
Amen.
It's every time. I think this boy probably was going in and out of consciousness. I believe that's how bad he was. And every time he was every time he'd wake up, that old boy was sitting right next to him on the bed and mending them wounds and pouring more oil, pouring more wine in. Boy, I can remember some times in my early ministry when I've been hurt so bad, Brother Toby. I've been hurt in my ministry pastoring and being an evangelist. There's been times when I wanted to quit. I've been what you said, what you told me a while ago. I've been right there, and I understand what you're talking about perfectly. I've been right there, but there's been some good brothers come along that saw me in my distress, and instead of just critiquing and criticizing, they helped me.
Amen.
I think not that I'm a good man, but it's helped make me the man that I am today, and showed me and told me about compassion and having the mind of God and having a heart full of love for people. I'm telling you, and I said at the first of the service, we need one another.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Somebody said, I just really don't care if they leave or not. Then you ain't right with God.
Right.
I just really don't care if they get hurt and go somewhere else. You ain't right with God.
Right.
I've heard preachers and saying, I've probably made the statement myself, they look better going than they do a coming. And you ain't right with God. I'll just be honest with you. It can't be right. If you'd rather see people on the outside, you don't want a church.
Right.
I understand that there's people that's got to be dealt with. You understand that. And after time, if they're always troubling, constantly posing trouble, then they may look better coming, but going than they do coming. Sure. But the first time they mess up, that may just be evidence of a young Christian.
Sure.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. This boy was wounded and he needed time to recover. And that man was there for him. Amen. I've laid in the ditch a long time. I've laid in the end for a long time. Brother told me it's 15 after. I ain't going to make it, brother. Amen. I tried. Y'all sung too long, though. Amen. Just give me just a few more minutes. Amen. I'll be done. I've laid in that end and tried to recover. But did you know when you're laying in that end with all these wounds on you, a lot of times all you can think about is getting even or getting back. They hurt me. And as soon as these bandages comes off, and as soon as my eyes ain't swelled shut, and I can see where I'm headed, I'm headed right down there, and then I'm going to give them a piece of my life, my mind, and I'm going to tell them, and I might even do what to them what they done to me. But the longer you lay there in good company with a man that's got oil and wine,
right,
the more tender your heart will become.
Sir.
Amen. It's easy for every one of us to get hurt, and it's easy for every one of us to want to lash back. But the more oil and wine you pour in a person, the more hope you give them, the more time you sing the Lord's song to them, the more encouragement and the more you stay with them and say it'll be all right and preach to them and teach them. Thank God that even though they done wrong by you, don't mean you've got to do wrong by them. Tell them, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'll repay. He's going to get even. You don't have to. Just love them and it'll heap coals of fire on their head.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's right, preacher.
Let me talk to you about them wounds just for a minute. These wounds on this boy was deep. Life-threatening wounds. Amen. These wasn't wounds that just scratched the surface. These wasn't superficial wounds. Brother Clint, these wounds went all the way to the heart.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
There's been a few times, you know, people said some things and it hurt a little bit, you know, but it was superficial and I got over it. But when they drive it in all the way to the heart, hey, I'm to bust your bubble, as you might say,
right,
we might say, it hurts, brother.
Yes,
brother Toby this morning. And it's not easy. It's not quick to get over. Amen. It's deep wounds in our life. But them deep wounds, after time, will heal if you let it. Amen. Ain't that right?
Yes.
I've been run off from churches. I've been cussed. And I've stood out in the parking lot and had preachers' wives pull me aside and talk to me like I was a dog with their husband standing afar off and just make me feel so low. I've been told everything that you can be think to be told, that I was worthless, no good, never would amount to nothing. How in the world could I? And the whole time I was just trying to help and get their kids saved.
Amen. Amen.
Go home, throw my Bible in the corner. Say, what's the use? You say, preacher, have you ever quit? It's not if I've ever quit, it's how many times I've quit. I've quit a bunch. But I always start back for a morning. Amen. That's right. Amen. I always get started. At least I always start back for Sunday anyway. Or for Wednesday night. Or if I'm preaching revival Monday, amen. If I get hurt on Monday night, I'm usually better by Tuesday evening if I got to preach again. Why? Because I realize they're not doing it to me. They're doing it to God, amen.
Right.
But it still hurts.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So it's deep wounds. But if you ain't careful, these wounds will define you.
Yes, it will.
They're defining wounds. I've never had a deep wound that didn't leave a scar.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Evidence that there was a wound. Amen.
Yes, right.
Ain't that right?
Yes, sir.
And they're defining. All of them's different. No scar really looks alike now, does it?
That's right.
And these wounds will define you. It's not just preachers, but it's men. Regular average old Joes that come to church and just faithful. It's ladies that come to church and do nothing but bring their kids and try all their best with all their might to get them kids saved. But somebody else in the congregation lashes out at them. And because of that, the stakes run deep. And you've got a deep wound in your life. And you don't know how to deal with it. So therefore, that wound begins to define you.
Right.
Instead of you handling the wound's handling you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. My little boy, cut his arm one time. I may have told this here. I don't remember. I've told it so many times. Cut his arm one time, just a little place, but it made a scab. Every time he thought about that scab, pulled it off. Daddy, I'm bleeding. Well, of course you're bleeding. Why, Daddy, am I bleeding? Because you pulled the scab off. What's the scab for? The scab's to help it heal. Sure, it itches. Sure, it's awkward, but it's there for healing. Amen. Right. That's right. Well, Daddy, every time he'd pull it off, the next time he'd get a little red around it. What was happening was getting infected. So I come up with the brilliant plan to get my boy to quit pulling the scab off. And I'm going to tell the same thing for you because it worked. Come in, Daddy, I'm bleeding. I said, son, you know what we're going to have to do, don't you? No, Daddy. I said, that thing's infected. We're going to have to cut your arm off. He said, Daddy, I don't want to lose my arm. I said, I know you don't want to lose your arm. But if you keep pulling that scab, that thing's just going to get worse and worse. And before you know it, a little sore is turned into a sore this big. Why? Because you keep on picking it.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Little problems, little petty things in your life that don't amount to a hill of beans, you're constantly picking it.
Right. Right.
Why did Sister So-and-so not talk to me today? Pick it.
Yeah.
She might not have seen you. She might have been dealing with them four kids that she's got and might have had her hair being pulled out to town, and she might have just not have got to you.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
That's right, ain't it? Amen. You pick it and you pick it. Little things turn into big things and it defines you. You spend all your time with your sore. Ain't that right?
That's right.
When I got run off from my last church, I was much like my little boy. I picked it to the point where every time I saw them, these folks lived in my community. I mean, it wasn't somewhere that I had to drive an hour or two to get to that I didn't have to see every week. I had to pass them. They waved at me and I didn't wave back. Amen. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I picked it.
Yes, sir.
And I picked it.
Tell it.
To the point that I got bitter.
Tell it, preacher.
Bitter. Then for the next year of my ministry, everywhere I preached that didn't have no association with that church, I took my frustrations out on them churches. And I vented. And I told them how sorry they was. And they was all low down, no count. Amen?
Tell it, preacher.
And they done nothing to me. They done nothing to me. Do you know, I can think in that year, I don't remember many services, if any, where during the altar call there was any conviction.
Sure. Tell it, preacher.
I don't remember any services. In that year, I don't remember seeing anybody get saved. Why? Because I was bitter. Because my lamp was out. The light was gone. That's right.
That's right, preacher.
But I had to get to the point where I didn't let the wound define me anymore. I had to get to the point where I had to go back to that church. And I had to tell them I was sorry. Even though they'd done me wrong. Even though I was innocent in the fact. They had no business running me off, Brother Toby. Had no business. But they did it.
Right.
And it's done.
Yes, sir.
But I didn't have to get like I got.
Right.
And you don't have to get like you do at times.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So what are you trying to say? I'm saying grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, in the grace of God.
Right.
And let them things like be like water on a duck's back and let it just run off.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
But some people had compassion on. They doctored me and loved me and nurtured me and helped me.
Yeah.
Do you know I'm not bitter anymore? That's right. I'm not bitter anymore. I go to that church now and preach to them. We pass each other in the car and I wave now. How about that? But up until then, I could not fellowship with them. Could not fellowship.
Yes, sir.
Could not fellowship.
Right.
You say, preacher, this is no way to start a revival. This is a very good way to start a revival.
Yes, it is.
Amen. Because I have a feeling some of you are going to do the very same thing that I said at the first of the service. Friday night you're going to say, boy, you're going to stand up and say, I just hadn't been burdened. Just hadn't been able to pray. I've been so distracted. Amen. And it's all because of these little things in your life.
Right.
You say, preacher, you're acting like they're superficial and don't mean anything. And you're acting like my problems and cares are just petty. I'm not trying to say that. Because the Lord knows. He's touched by the feelings of our infirmities, whether they be big infirmities or little infirmities.
That's right.
He knows and He cares. But I'm saying you don't have to make more out of it than what it really is.
Right.
And hinder the church. hinder your Christian life and hinder your kids from getting saved. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, please don't take our light. What, you know what would be a great thing in this service this week? Brother Terry to get to come, be so much liberty, get to preach, and then be conviction every night.
Amen.
Deep conviction. Deep conviction. Some of these boys in here that's old enough to get saved, boy, it'd be a blessing for them to get saved.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And that's not going to happen if there's no light. It will not happen. Are you in unity this morning? Can you fellowship with your brother this morning?
God bless.
Have you been wounded? Maybe you've been wounded. You say, preacher, you don't know how bad it hurts. Yeah, I do. Sure do. But don't let it define you.
Right.
Don't let it define you. Get in this altar. Weep your way to God. Pray. Beg for help. Then when you get help, be a help.
Amen.
Be the one that when you go somewhere, you be the one tote the oil and the wine.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
Instead of being quick to criticize and judge, you be the one that lends a helping hand. Amen. That's right, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
I think that's right. I've pastored churches and preached in places where when people had problems, there was always somebody in there that said, I can tell you what to do. I know what to do. Got all the answers. That's exactly right. But when it come time for them to be tested and tried, they quit church altogether.
Yeah.
Don't look like they knew all that they needed to know. Amen. Where are you at this morning? Has the lamp went out in your life? If the lamp starts going out in lives, they go out quickly in the church.
You're right.
Amen. Don't let it die. Why? Because I want to come back. This might be where the Lord sees fit to save my kids. I might just be passing through. Brother Toby might let me come preach. And my kids might get saved here.
Right.
So don't let the light go out.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. It's necessary that we keep right. the light. Amen. Everybody stand. Come on, Brother Toby. Where I got saved at, we used to sing Amazing Grace. Preacher called for fellowship. We'd hug necks. People would cry and shout during fellowship. You believe any such as that? We'd love on one another. But did you know, after just a little time, some conflict came in the church. We was running up close to 100. Some conflict came in the church and some trouble rose up. And we quit singing together. We quit having them fellowship times. We quit hugging necks. And before you knew it, the church split. Then we was running about 20. Thought it never would happen to us, Brother Toby. We was seeing people saved. I'm talking about we'd have services, folks shouting, worshiping, running the aisles, having a fit. I'm talking about God just moving in.
Yes, sir.
But just a little bit of harboring hurt feelings caused God to take the candlestick and go. It was out. It was out. To this day, my home church has not recovered. Has not recovered.
No,
they're better than what they was, but they have not recovered.
No,
they have not recovered. I'm telling you, this is a very, very serious message.
Yes.
Serious subject. It could happen to you. It could happen to me. I feel like with all my heart, somebody in here this morning needs to pray. Amen. You're doing right. Somebody else need to come. You can stand with me, brother. Do what you need to do.
If you'll recall the wandering son who left his father's home, he had spent all, yet he found himself alone. And when he came back home again and told his father he had sinned, he found that love covers all sin. Love covers. for love covers all sin. See Jesus hanging on a tree, no greater love could e'er be seen than a man lay down his life for you and me. That river flowing from the cross, so full of love it paid the cost for love. Just kneel at the cross where